no more true than it is today. My father-in-law did not know that I was struggling with what to preach this week. I work on these sermons weeks in advance because Jeff gives me so much notice. And if you're ever at the Starbucks over by Lowe's, you often will see me sitting there, sometimes looking like I'm doing nothing for hours at a time. And that's when I'm usually working on the message. And I might be sitting there for 2 and 3 and 4 weeks before. He had no idea that I was struggling with what to preach. He went out into his yard this past week and he worked on his grapevine. He was the gardener and he was thinking of me as he worked. I often struggle. I'm being very honest with you, and I think there are many of us in here that struggle. I struggle with whether I am bearing any fruit at all for the Lord. I struggle with my purpose, and do I ever do anything that amounts to anything for Jesus? The challenges and struggles of life, they so often get in the way. Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever think about the fruit in your life or the lack of fruit? As my father-in-law was tending to his vine, he thought of how God cares for us. He asked my mother-in-law to get in touch with me and to share with me about the vine and how our Father in heaven tends to it. He didn't know that just the day before I was reviewing this passage and considering preaching it. My mother-in-law called me to tell me the story. She had no idea. It was then that I knew clearly what we would look at this morning, Jesus' last teaching to his disciples before he went to the cross. It's amazing how God works. If we're just listening, if we just make ourselves available, this was a neat moment. And maybe all this was just for me and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. Maybe it was just for the three of us. Maybe we'll spend the next however many minutes, and this will mean nothing to you. It was only some type of edification for our individual walks with Jesus. I don't believe that to be true, but I accept it if that is the truth. We're going to look here in the 15th chapter as he's prepared them by telling them all the things they've gotten wrong, all the things they've refused to understand, as he's shown them that he's going to do something that's just going to blow their minds, that they cannot get their minds around. These final groups of words that he's going to share. Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my dad is the gardener." Sort of a strange beginning, isn't it? It makes sense that he refers to his dad in heaven as the gardener. But why in the world does Jesus take on the role of a plant? Sometimes my wife thinks I'm like a plant, just sitting there not listening. And sometimes I feel like a house plant, sort of useless. But why would Jesus take on the role of a plant? What Jesus teaches us in the 15th chapter of John, I believe, is life-altering. I truly believe it is life-altering. When we take time to listen, we will learn the plan that God has for our lives. If you've been looking for the secrets of life today, for the followers of Jesus, I think we will discover them in the 15th chapter of John. And what God wants. Think of what Jesus did not use to make his point that night. He didn't pull a coin out and discuss how money is the key. He didn't grab a sword and talk about military might. He didn't strategize with them and share his plan for world domination like Ren and Stimpy. That's a Generation X reference for those who aren't Generation Xers. Oh, you're right. It was Pinky and the Brain. See, I like being corrected. Mr. Bloom here, Matt, and I just met him this morning. That was a test, actually. You passed. Everybody else knew about it, but that's right. Pinky in the Brain. It's not what God was trying to tell us through all the things we would understand in the world. Instead, he grabbed a grapevine and started talking about fruit. We can read in 15th chapter of John, it says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. God wants us to bear much fruit. If that's too Christian-y for you, just bear with us because we're going to get deeper into it. Anyone who's been a Christian for very long understands this. God calls us to be productive and to do God things. Pastor Jeff talks all the time about the difference between good things and God things. There are good things. There are many good things in life, but we want to go for the God things. We will often bypass good things to get to the God things. It's important. To better understand this, we need to understand why Jesus chose to teach about a vineyard. The first thing is that Jesus is the vine. Most people, and maybe you're not those people, but I always kind of thought this, most people think that the vine is what you see at a vineyard trailing along the trellis. But the vine is actually the trunk of the plant, growing up out of the ground. What we see trailing along the trellis are the branches. Jesus says, he is the vine. God the Father is the gardener. The King James uses the word vine dresser. The gardener is the one who tends to the vine and to the branches. The gardener's goal is to coax as much fruit as possible out of the plant. He focuses on the branches as they are what carry the fruit. In John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, and greater things will you do than I have done. That's always baffled me. But it kind of makes sense when you understand that Jesus is the vine. There is no fruit on the vine. The fruit is on the branches. Next time you find yourself near a grapevine, go dig into it. Look at the vine itself. Look at the trunk, and you'll see no grapes growing off of it. The grapes only grow off the branches. And the third thing is because we are the branches and God is looking to us to produce the fruit of his kingdom. Don't ask me why he did it this way. It'd have been a lot easier if Jesus just made us harvesters. I've thought about this a lot. If he would have just said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to produce the fruit. You just go pick it up and harvest it. Man, that'd have been a lot easier, wouldn't it? He does all the work. You know, we do a little work. And then we just pass the fruit out. But no, we are actually to produce the fruit. We are the branches. Do we think Jesus was just a fan of horticulture? Is this some kind of a botany lesson that he's given to his guys right before he goes off to die? In your lives, have you ever had the opportunity to listen to someone's last words? Maybe a grandma or a grandpa? Who knows that their time is short and they have things they want to share? Some pearls of wisdom for you to carry. Have you ever had a chance to listen to someone as they are literally facing death and they want to talk about some things? These are things that we remember. And for the one saying them, they are the things that are meant to be remembered. And so why is Jesus talking about plants? He, of this whole group, knows what's about to happen. He knows what's waiting around the corner. He knows all that's going to play out in the next many hours. And he's talking about a vine, a vineyard, and a gardener. As we look into God's Word, we can see that the ideas of fruit and good works are used interchangeably. And so if the idea of fruit is too religious in its construct for you, if you're like, I don't understand fruit. I mean, I like fruit. I eat fruit. I put fruit on my food. Yeah, a good banana now and then, an apple. But the Bible makes fruit and good works interchangeable. And I think we all know what good works are. And I think we know what bad works are. When you belittle someone, when you make fun of them, when you treat them poorly, when you're a jerk, when you're mean. Those are bad works. When you love someone, when you care for someone, when you build them up, when you talk positively about them, those are good works. I think we understand the differentiation. And so when we understand this, we look at these ideas that works and fruit, they're kind of all the same thing. It's important that we remember what we're looking at. What is fruit? Christianity 101 says this, and I think we focus too much on this. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. When I talk about that I sometimes feel useless, I think this is how a lot of us feel. We're not leading people to Christ. The church is like, oh, we got to bring more people to Christ. We got to bring more people to Jesus. And we do. How we do that is as important as doing it. And so when Christianity 101 says, oh, fruit is saving souls, I don't have any argument with this, but I reject the concept that that alone is what constitutes the fruit that God is looking for from us. Recently, Pastor Jeff preached on the fruits of the Spirit, and I think they're going to be up on the screen, and we're told what those fruits are right in the Bible. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think we can all understand those things. When you're looking for a life that is honoring God, does your life have these things as a hallmark? Do those things kind of indicate who you are? When people look at you and talk to you and think about you and talk to you to others about you, is this what colors their language? Because this is a branch that is producing fruit. These are the things that are fruit. In Titus chapter 3, verse 14, we read that, let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. The maintaining of good works is connected to being fruitful. This is part of who we are. In the Psalms, in the first chapter, the third verse, the righteous man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So I'm trying to find ways to bring this home, and I didn't ask anybody here for permission, two guys in particular. I'm going to say your names, and I know you well enough that you're not going to care. I think of Yancey and Judy and raising Riddy. That's fruit. That's God bearing fruit in life. I think of Doc Steffi, and he fixes so many of us when our backs are just broken and our knees don't work and our hips hurt. And he adjusts us, and that's fruit. That's a good work. I think about the hub workers, the Saturdays on Tuesdays, and how they're serving people in this town, many of whom are just in really bad shape. And they're going there, and they just work, and they serve. That's fruit. The donut people, God bless you. So there's a little known fact that the manna that was served to the Israelites in the desert was in fact donuts. The youth and children's workers, when you spend time with those young people like they did at camp in these past weeks, and like they do every Sunday morning, and like they do on Sunday evenings and other times at Bible studies and small groups, those are the good works of God. The praise team, all of the praise team, whether they're behind the scenes or up front, when they take the time to share their gifts in such a way that they lead other people to the throne of God, that is part of the good works of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The prayer people who put little letters out there for the teens and who pray for one another. The people that come on Wednesdays and they pray in the back room and they pray for all of us. The parents that take care of kids. The grandparents that build up their children. The children that obey their parents. These are all the good works of God. This past week I felt like I didn't do anything for Jesus. And then I started reading about what Jesus asks us to do. I don't feel quite so bad. There's always room for improvement. Jesus says that his Father in heaven is glorified by our good works. Everything that I just listed glorifies God. That's pretty amazing. How important is this? I think it's pretty important. In John 15, the 16th verse, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last." What is fruit that will last? When Jesus refers to something as lasting, what perspective does he have? Of course, it's an eternal perspective because he is eternal. He always thinks of things with an eternal perspective. The fruit we bear is that which lasts, that which is stored in heaven, that which we were created for. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul teaches that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And you can read it the same way. We were created in Christ Jesus to be fruitful. We are the branches. We bear the fruit. The gardener tends the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine. If we remain in him, he remains in us. And those who remain in him do great things, even greater things than what he did. John chapter 15 is a powerful message. So here's God's plan for the bearing of fruit, and it's pretty simple. I don't want us to miss this next part. I'm going to do some word jockeying, and so just bear with me. But there are four parts to his plan. There's no fruit. Some of y'all bear no fruit. It's a fact. Sometimes I bear no fruit. All of us who follow Jesus have seasons where we're dry, where we are not bearing any fruit. There's fruit. I've been around different berry plants and apple trees. I used to have orange and lemon trees in my yard in Arizona. And I could see branches, and I'd go up and say, "Well, this tree sucks. I mean, you know, it's got one lemon. What the heck? This one I heard got 35. What's your problem?" So there's no fruit. There's fruit. There's more fruit. Some have, you know, okay, well, that's good. You're doing a good job. And there's much fruit. I had a tree in my garden in Arizona that I could go out and just kick the trunk, and stuff would fall off of it. It was amazing. Delicious juice. It was awesome. The only way, though, for a branch to be successful in its fruit production, listen to this, the only way for a branch, remember, we're the branches. If you follow Jesus Christ, you're a branch on the vine. The only way to be successful in its fruit production is to respond to the pruning and guidance of the gardener. This isn't brain surgery, guys. This isn't some deep theological thing that we got to parse out and figure, what's God trying to say? I don't understand. It's very clear. If we let God tend to us and prune us, then we will bear fruit for him. Jesus says the branches that bear no fruit are taken away. And from there, the branches are rated based on their ability to bear fruit. However, the ability is equal in every branch. When a branch is birthed on a vine, every branch has the same potential for bearing fruit. So why do some bear more fruit than others? The ones that bear the most fruit are the ones who respond properly to the guidance of the gardener. The ones that live a life that reflects Jesus. Charlie, I don't usually do this to you. Can you go back to the fruits of the Spirit slide, please? And that's more of a Jeff thing to make you jump back and forth. I try and pride myself on staying in order, but... Is that you? Is that me? Is that who we are? You want to know the fruits of the Spirit? God lists them. He puts them right there in his Bible. We can read about them. They're not complicated. We don't have to dig deep into the original language to find out the meaning of each of those words. We know what they mean. We know when we're not loving. We know when we have no joy. All of us have experienced no peace. Patience, yeah. Kindness, you ever been mean? Goodness, that may be the most complicated word in there. What is goodness? Faithfulness, I've been unfaithful. Gentleness, I've been less than gentle. And self-control is hardly an American thing. This is what it means to bear fruit. It's what it means to let the gardener guide you and prune you. God's goal, his hope for us, is that we would bear much fruit and even more fruit. He built us for abundance, and he is the one who tends to our lives and gives us what we need for this abundant living. Our task is to let him. I believe in general people want the best. We want the most out of what we commit ourselves to. And as we consider these four realities, I think many of us want to bear fruit. I think we do. I really do think many of us want to bear fruit. I think that some will want to bear more fruit. Some are content just to be, you know, kind of that casual Christian who's, you know, nominal. Oh yeah, I'm decent. Some say, yeah, I'm going to be next level. I want to bear more fruit. And I think there are some, probably a few today here, who want to bear much fruit. Now, that's challenging, but there are some who want to do that. I want to bear much fruit. I want my life to be marked by following Jesus. I want people who don't even know me to look at me and go, I think that guy, there's something different about that guy. That girl over there, I can't explain it, but my guess would have to be that she is a follower of Jesus. We want to bear much fruit. That's our ultimate goal. Now, there's a conventional teaching that states that the branch that bears no fruit is cut off from God. And if you read that in John 15, it says taken away. And I don't have a lot of qualms with the translators of our various Bible versions. I don't have a lot of qualms because I think they do a great job. The problem with English is that English is limited. Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, these other languages, they're much more rich. And so when sometimes we translate words, they don't quite come across right. And so if you bear with me for a minute, we do need to look at one word. In the 15th chapter, we see that it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. But here's the problem. What does the Bible say about being in Christ? Now, this isn't a once saved, always saved question. It's a simple question of what does the Bible say about being in Christ? If you are in Christ, you're in Christ. The book of Romans says, neither heights nor depths, nor powers nor principalities, nor angels nor demons, nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. Nothing. And so if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. So what's this takes away or cuts off mean? Well, there's a Greek word, and it's a great Greek word. It's called aero, A-I-R-O. I love it. It's a neat word. And unfortunately, we have a bad word choice here. I love the word because it means to take up or lift up. I have an old friend who years ago, he knew this Greek word. He named his youth group Aero. Had all kinds of cool shirts with arrows on it and stuff. And it was an acronym, aiming in, reaching out. Pretty cool. Yes, if you're youth people today, feel free to steal it. He's no longer a youth pastor. He's been retired. Aiming in, reaching out. But the idea, the word, the Greek word actually means taken up or lifted up, not cut off or taken away. So we have a little bit of an issue. There is an understanding. This taken away is easier. So if you can picture a vine, there's a vine on the ground, and it's growing up with branches, and these branches fall on the ground. You ever been to a winery or to a vineyard? They have all these trellises, these arbors, these things that stand up. Why do they have these? Because they take that branch and they pull it up out of the dirt and the muck and the mud and they strap it to this arbor and then it grows and it produces fruit. If it lays on the ground, the fruit is mildewy and nasty or not even produced. It can't do much down in the dirt and the muck and the mire. The gardener goes out of his or her way to go around inspecting the vine, looking at the branches and going, oh, you need to come up. Oh, got to wash this one off here. Got to tend to that. Oh, I need to just take care of this one over here. And that's what the gardener does. That's the picture of your Father in heaven. That's what he's doing with each of us. He's picking us up. So this unfortunate word choice in a lot of our Bible translations, instead of being taken away or cut off, it really needs to be lifted up or taken up. And we see this word again. It's an example of the word. It was used in the feeding of the 5,000. What happened after the 5,000 were fed? They went around and they took up baskets full of food. That's the same word. And that's what it means. And so while many of us are covered in dust and muddy and dirty, and we're mildewing and we're laying on the ground, and we're not producing any fruit because life is just beating us down relentlessly, but we are in Him. Remember, that's the key phrase in that passage. And those that are in Him are taken up, they are lifted up, and they are washed off by the gardener, and they are cleaned up, and they are strengthened, and they are secured, and they are made fruitful. This is the message of the gospel. This is what God is trying to teach me today, and hopefully you are hearing. We know the gardener doesn't cut a branch off. Why? Because the branches are way too valuable. They're way too valuable. If you ever sit around and think that you aren't valuable, that you think God doesn't care about me, God doesn't even know my name, God could care less whether I'm here or not. Nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. I'm alone. I am all by myself. As David shared, we do not live on an island. We are all together. And God so loves us, you know the rest of the verse, for God so loved us that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life. And the gardener so loves us that he takes time, as much time as is needed. Time is a human construct. God is timeless. And He comes over and He picks us up and He washes us off and He makes sure that we're secured so that now we are able to produce fruit for His kingdom. You're a branch and you are way too valuable to be cut off. Way too valuable. His gentle and loving care. The branch that bears no fruit can bear fruit. All branches have equal ability to bear fruit. The branch that bears no fruit can bear fruit if it just will submit to the guidance, the direction, the pruning of the gardener. That is the nature of our loving Father in heaven, and you are valuable to Him. Like I said, this may have been for me, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and tangentially my wife because she cried when I told her the story. I don't know what God is speaking to you today. I do know that we're all branches if you're in Jesus Christ. I do know that if you know Jesus, your Savior, you are a branch and Jesus is the vine, and God's desire and goal for you is that you will bear fruit, good works, much fruit, much good works. I know that's His plan. As the band comes up, we're going to close today. Going to wrap up here and trust that God has done something in some heart somewhere in this building or online. Where are you today? You really need to think about this. Today, when you're at lunch, this afternoon, when you're napping on your couch or mowing your yard or whatever it is that you do on Sundays, there's no football today, so no distractions. Are you the branch that bears no fruit and needs the gardener to lift you up? Well, just ask Him. He will. God is faithful. Are you bearing fruit, but you say, you know what? I can bear more fruit. Lord, can you prune me a little bit and get me going in the right direction? For you brave few, I like to hopefully count myself in this. I'm going to be brave. Is it in our hearts to bear much fruit? That's some crazy stuff. You ever seen a grapevine that's like just exploding, just gigantic bunch? That's what I want to be. We need to simply stay close to the Father, stay close to the gardener, and allow Him to do what is necessary to prune and to mold and to shape and to care for us, that we may bear much fruit, which is what brings Him glory and what we were created for. Today, may you be lifted up by the Father of the heavenly lights, the gardener for our souls. May God the Father lovingly and carefully lift each of us up to be washed in His word and secured so that we may bear much fruit in and for our Father's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, I thank You. I thank You that Your Son had these final words for us as He prepared to leave this world. I thank You that He made them simple and direct and clear and something we can understand, not complicated, but deep and profound and awesome. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would implant this word upon our hearts, that each and every one of us who are branches in you, who know you as our Savior, that we would be willing to bear much fruit. Change our hearts, Lord, and direct them to you, and start with me. I pray all this in Jesus' name.